Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Last night, the Golden State Warriors, they didn't make it till I turned on my television before they were getting their asses kicked by the Houston Rockets. The 2-7 matchup. Houston at home for Game 5. They stave off elimination. The Warriors have done this before, by the way, Anthony, where they have been up in a series. They did this at Memphis a couple years ago where they got absolutely blasted in a game, and then they came back and just won the next one. It's like, okay, cool. That was fun. We just close it out at home. And so I'm not worried. But there is consternation. I'm not worried if I'm the Warriors. There is consternation, though, about Steph Curry's thumb. And it got hit multiple times last night, and Steve Kerr had something to say about it after. And he said, basically, we have 30 coaches in the league who think it's incredibly stupid the way the rule is currently written, where if you hit someone's hand on a closeout, there are circumstances where it's not a foul. And Dylan Brooks was asked about the fact after the game that he might be intentionally hitting Steph Curry's injured thumb. And he didn't deny it. In fact, he said, one of the dumbest things I've ever heard an athlete hear because Dylan Brooks can't help himself. Sorry. Did I get angry too early, Anthony?
Nah, I think it was just the right amount.
Dylan Brooks said, if I was playing someone with an injured ankle, if I had an injured ankle, I'd go after that ankle all night long. I'd attack that ankle, was the quote. If you have an injured ankle and your movement skills are limited, it is 1,000% fair game to attack that. To say, hey, you're limited. We're gonna see, make you do the thing that is hard. And if you're not up to it, then you have to sub out. Going up to that ankle and kicking the ever-living S out of it repeatedly would not be fair game. Stepping on it would be dirty. To be like, oopsies, I stepped on your bad ankle. That's bush league. That's chicken bleep. That is unbecoming of a professional. It is unbecoming of a competitor. And that's exactly what Dylan Brooks admitted to doing. In his own analogy, is that not, hey, I'm going to see if you can shoot it. Not, hey, I'm going to try to contest your catches. I'm going to contest your shots. You know, hey, if we happen to make contact, so be it. No, he's attacking and trying to hurt Steph Curry. And this upsets me, not only, like, I'm not going to pretend like it doesn't upset me that he's out there trying to hurt people, because that is, like, these are human beings at the end of the day. And there's a respect that you have as competitors when you play a sport, that you are not going to try to hurt the other person. In hockey, where they fight each other, there is conduct. In boxing, there is conduct. In football, yeah, there are times you're trying to crush guys and knock guys, and it's kind of accepted as part of the sport. Hey, you might get knocked out. But if you do it in a way that's dirty after the whistle, that's no good. That's that you're on the hook for. And in basketball, the written and unwritten rules do not allow for you to hurt people. And I think, so yes, on a human level, it is, I would say, upsetting. But what like really actually grinds my gears, Anthony, beyond that, is what it means to compete is my best versus your best. Let's see who wins. That is the true definition of competition. This is outlined, like I would say in books, and I'm making this overly academic, but like if Anthony, if I say, hey, we're going to go out in the hallway and we're going to race, tale as old as time, right? Just like we're kids. I'm going to race you. We're going to move all the chairs. And there's two lanes out here on either side of this desk. And I'm going to race you from here to the end. And I say, ready, set, go. And then I just don't run. What are you going to do?
I'm going to run, but also question why you aren't running.
Right. And if you win, are you going to be like, oh, I beat you? And you can be like, no, it was weird. He didn't run.
Yeah.
Like, you might even stop and be like, no, come on. Like, I want to race.
Yeah.
You're not just going to take the win.
Nah.
Because that's not what competition is about.
Not at all.
The best wins of your life are the ones that you had to earn, that you had to work hardest for, that you had to... There's a reason we love the underdog in sports. Because they're not supposed to win. They overcome the odds. Breaking the opponent's thumb is the antithesis of that. Yeah, I won. Yeah, because you hurt him. If you are an actual competitor, then you don't try to hurt your opponent. You try to beat them. And you get more glory. You would rather lose in glory and say, I lost. I gave it my best. His best was better than mine. Then win by a way that's cheap. And if you're the other way, if that's not who you are, and you're like, I'll just take the win, then I don't ever want to play any competitive anything with you in my life. Because you're not even worth beating. Like, you're just not worth my time. And to me, that's who Dylan Brooks is. It's who he's been his entire career. He's a guy who wants to be better at basketball than he is. And he wants to be able to say he's better at basketball than he is. Which is a shame, because he's a good player. That's the thing. Dylan Brooks doesn't suck at NBA basketball. He's okay. He has nights where he's not very good. He has nights where he's really good. He's not a bad defender. He's not an elite defender. He's a very solid defender with some offensive game. But he wishes that he was better than he is. And in order to try to make himself, to live that lie, he tries to cut down his opponents literally. He resorts to non-competitive things to try to get in their heads. Does stuff after the whistle that is illegal and out of bounds. And the fact that he just flat out admitted it, and he doesn't seem to understand the difference between attacking someone's injury within the context of the game and trying to cause more injury, to me is like, I know it's not actually suspension worthy and that you can't suspend him for this, but if this was not the NBA and this was Craig's basketball league, I would suspend Dylan Brooks for that, because it's so fundamentally insulting to what I want the sport to be that I would be ready to throw him out of the league because you just don't get the proverbial it.
Yeah, it gives that he's trying to sort of kind of take the coward's way out, and like that's what it screams. And I'm not sure if he's trying to take on the Bad Boys Pistons, you know, behavior from the 80s and, you know, the 90s. I think he's low-key taking it a step further, kind of.
I mean, no, it's what those guys tried to do.
Okay.
And it was more within the rules back then, which is why they invented some of the flagrant rules and things like that. Because, like, it was like, hey, we can't beat you playing. I mean, look, that is what those Pistons teams were. They were really, really good, to be clear. Way better at basketball than Dylan Brooks is. But when it came to Michael, when it came to the Bulls, they could not beat him playing basketball. And so they did other stuff. And the league let them get away with it enough, and it was within the rules enough at the time that it worked, and they got two championships out of it. And credit to them. They, you know, it is within the rules enough that they got away with it. But they changed the rules, and Michael also figured it out, and that was the end of that. And Dylan Brooks has no shot at defeating Stephen Curry if Steph is at his best. And it's one thing to talk mess and try to get in his head or, you know, defend him really hard or, you know, I'm even okay with the occasional like message send screen or I'm going to run through a screen. I'm telling you right now, bro, if I was, I'm trying to think of who the right person, maybe it's like Moses Moody.
No, you need Moody.
You don't want someone who's going to get thrown. You don't want to get thrown out. But like in the 2008 Olympics, Kobe Bryant wanted to send a message early that like, yeah, Pau Gasol is now my teammate in LA, but like we're here to go against Spain in the final. And that he knew the first play that Spain was going to run would have Pau setting a screen. And he ran like in a way that was like actually a dirty play. Kobe ran through Pau's chest. And it was like, oh, hell, whoa. Everybody was like, oh, that's what we're doing? Like, this is going to be a war. And it was. That 08 final is one of the best Olympic basketball games ever. And again, like, I actually thought Kobe did it at a level that was dirty. It was so intentional. But if I'm the Warriors, I'd probably run through Dylan Brooks' chest because he's asking for it. And at that point, if you've engaged in that stuff, like, okay, if those are your rules of engagement, we'll engage. So, like, who's big, strong, fast, and can maybe it's Quentin Post, maybe Moses Moody, because I feel like Moses Moody's the Warrior who would be bested as a football player. He's big, he's strong, he's fast.
Maybe you do use Moses.
If he picks up a technical, start. If he picks up a technical, whatever.
Oh no.
Just don't do anything extra.
Yeah.
Stupid. Make sure you hit him in the chest, not the face. We can take a flagrant one. Don't get a flagrant two. But yeah, it's so despicable to me. Like, it really bothers me to my core. Like, I need to stop talking about it. Otherwise, I'm going to just be upset for the rest of the night. When we get back, actually, I have no idea what we're doing when we get back. Here's what I do know. It's 6:30. Esme Morgan from the Washington Spirit is going to join us. And one, she is a delightful person. Two, she is an enormous Jacksonville Jaguars fan. She's British, and she loves the Jags. So we're going to get Esme Morgan's takes on the Jacksonville Jaguars trading for Travis Hunter. She also went to the White House Correspondents' Dinner. How did that happen? We'll ask her about that, and we'll also talk about her team, the Spirit, who are looking to get back on track Friday night against Angel City, one of the top teams in the NWSL so far this season, and looking forward to another sellout under the lights at Audi Field on Friday. So Esme coming up at 6:30 here on the Team 980. But first, the latest in the world of women's sports is presented to you by Wawa, chicken how you wanna, at Wawa with customizable roasted and crispy chicken sandwiches. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Just a few minutes ago, Mayor Bowser actually called in across the hall to Grant and Danny. They were talking about some of the RFK stuff. And Grant ran something that Charles Allen said by her. Charles Allen is a city council member who currently is a no on RFK for the Commanders. And part of his explanation is that it's a bad deal for the city, specifically on the parking. He's like, the city is going to build it, and then the Commanders are going to keep the revenue from the parking. That's a bad deal for the city. They played that bite for Mayor Bowser, and then she responded by saying this.
That he doesn't understand complicated municipal finance and infrastructure finance. That's all that says to me. What it says is that that revenue wouldn't exist but for the stadium. And so we use revenue that wouldn't exist but for projects all the time to finance those projects. It's a very common tool. And so what else would he have us do than use the money generated on the project to make the project financially feasible?
On a baseline level, I actually understand what Bowser's saying, but let's not pretend like there aren't other options there. So could you use the stadium? But this is part of the reason that stadiums are not good investments for cities is when you build something like a grocery store or housing or office space, the taxes ultimately go back into the coffers of the city that help you build things like schools or pay teachers or whatever. And so to pretend like there isn't an alternate path here that okay, once, especially once you are done building the stadium, and maybe the first 5 years, the taxes or the revenue from the parking goes to repay Events DC, who built the parking structures. And maybe there's a certain amount that goes back to the Commanders because they are putting so much money in, and you know, but ultimately, like, they're buying something. When you buy something, you expect to get the thing. You don't expect always to get your money back. There are certain things that are investments. There are certain things that are purchases. And on some level, this stadium is going to be a purchase for Josh Harris and company. And then the rest of it is an investment, if you will. But to pretend like you can't say, hey, this parking structure is going to be great because it's going to help us eventually build a new school, like, to pretend like that's not an option also seems silly to me. Maybe Mayor Bowser would look at me and just say, you also don't understand municipal finance. But I just, this is the fight, right? This is emblematic of what's going to happen over the next 3 months, is fights exactly like that, of Mayor Bowser saying, this is how it's done, and city council members saying, hey, yeah, that's why most economists think these stadiums are terrible deals for the city. Can we find a way to do it that's actually a good deal for the city? And I don't know the right answer to that, because I'm not an economist, and I also don't have the exact details of what, I don't have the surface level details of how that all would come together. But I think it is really emblematic of the kind of discussions that are going to be happening. And it's really good to point, you know, both hear Mayor Bowser make a lot of sense on one hand, but also say, well, hey, here is the counter argument on the other. When we get back, you will hear from Washington Spirit defender Esme Morgan. She's got hot takes on the Jags trade for Travis Hunter, because she is a big Jags fan. And you also hear her talk about her team that looks to bounce back from their worst loss of the season so far tomorrow night at Audi Field.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the team 980. Tomorrow night at Audi Field, the Washington Spirit will take on Angel City, trying to bounce back after a disappointing loss against Gotham over the weekend. And big part of that will be Esme Morgan, their star defender, English international. Had a chance to catch up with Ez yesterday, and then after we caught up, we also discovered there was something else we should have talked about. That is going to be featured in Real Things Real People Said in Real Microphones. Just a very funny story is awaiting. But before that, here is my chat with Esme. Joined by Esme Morgan, Washington Spirit defender, lady about town this week in D.C., and super Jacksonville Jaguars fan. So, Ez, we're going to talk about the Spirit. We're going to talk about your trip to the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and we're going to talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars trading for Travis Hunter. Which one do you want to start with?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. You kick me off, and then I'll just talk.
All right, let's go, because for anyone who's watching this that is a usual watcher or listener to our radio show, which is a ton of NFL talk, there's always this thought in the NFL, like, oh, if we have a team that plays in London regularly, they'll become people over there will become a fan of the team. And it worked on you. It worked on you. Esme is the British-based Jacksonville Jaguars fan who's now made her way to D.C. So you are all in on this team. What's your take on the Travis Hunter trade?
Well, I will just say I'm not a Jags fan because they play often in London. I am a Jags fan purely because teal is my favorite color. So when I started watching the NFL, that's who I chose.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, but I was so excited when we traded up. I was watching the draft coverage live on TV, and then it said like trade alert and that the Jags were going up to second, and I was screaming, oh my God, we're going to get Travis Hunter. And Kate lives three floors above me at the apartments, and I think we both had our like balcony doors open because she messaged me. She was like, what is all that shouting about down there? So obviously she could hear me from three floors up yelling because we were getting Travis Hunter. But no, I'm very, very excited. It's very rare for people to play two positions so brilliantly. So, I mean, the Jags need the help. So I'm very excited about it.
Do you have strong feelings of whether you want to see him on offense or defense?
Well, I watched like their post-draft press conference, and they said he's primarily going to be at receiver, which is exciting because I watch Red Zone. So for the most part, hopefully I'll get to see him doing that.
So there's not like the inner defender. You're like, no. You gotta play on the good side of the ball.
Offense is much more exciting in the NFL, isn't it?
Fair enough. You also were at the White House Correspondents' Dinner this past weekend in D.C. How did that come about, and how did you enjoy yourself?
Well, I was invited by Bloomberg, which was just an absolute honor. I was aware of what a prestigious event it was and everything. So it was just such a surreal experience, just being surrounded by so many inspirational, incredible people, such interesting stories to share. Like I was sat at a table with the Canadian ambassador to the US, Bloomberg's deputy editor-in-chief, and they were just such wonderful, lovely people who were so passionate about what they did. And it was just so interesting to get to chat to them and ask questions and hear their stories, and sort of be inspired by the stories of the journalists who work every day to let everyone know what's going on in the world. So it was such an honor to be invited, and I really, really enjoyed it. I took my little brother as a plus one because he's visiting at the minute, and he kept coming over to me after he'd been chatting to someone and being like, Ez, what am I doing here? I was like, I know, Lucas, I feel the same, but we felt so lucky and it was so much fun and made some great friends whilst I was there.
That's great. Esme Morgan is with us, Washington Spirit defender on the Hoffman Show. So like, how did you get connected with Bloomberg? Like, what's the backstory there? Or you're like, I don't know. Something showed up and it was real. And next thing I know, I'm at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Literally. Sam, our head of comms at the Spirit, just sort of forwarded me an email from Bloomberg saying we'd love to invite Esme Morgan to the White House Correspondents' Dinner as our guest. And I sort of responded saying, Sam, please, can you find out why on earth they want me there? Because I didn't really understand why, like, no one else in the team was going or anything like that. But the lady called Jess, who works for Bloomberg and is head of their PR, was, I think, responsible for inviting me. And she's British and a big Lionesses fan. So that sort of explained it. And we're besties now, Jess. We get along so well. She's absolutely hilarious and just brilliant at what she does. So I was so grateful that she thought of me for that opportunity. And yeah, now I've got a good friendship out of it.
That's lovely. That's such a great story. All right, to the soccer. Spirit hosting Angel City on Friday night, first Friday night football game of the year at Audi Field. I wanted to talk to you as about your new backline mate, Rebecca Bernal, because she has been unbelievable this year. I'm sure you were familiar on some level with her game, but we were talking on our show last weekend of, you know, oh, is she a candidate for Defender of the Year? And I was like, why are you guys selling her short? Like, she's got to be on the MVP list the way that she has played so far this year. When you first got to start playing with Rebecca in training and then as she got on the field, what makes her so special as someone who is playing right next to her week in, week out?
I think the biggest thing is that you can tell she just loves defending. Like, long ball comes into the air, she's charging to go and win it. And she's so strong in those aerial duels. And then she's really tenacious on the ground duels as well, always going in with firm tackles and sliding in for blocks in the area. And that's what I took. I was just like, wow, she's a brilliant defender. But obviously, I knew that she'd come as captain from the Mexican team, captain from her previous team too. So I knew that she'd be a great leader. And although she's not fluent in English, her English is very, very good. And maybe she's just waiting to bed into the team. You can still see that she's got those leadership qualities and is incredibly passionate, encouraging with the team, and speaks up if she sees something within a game that needs to be better. So yeah, I've really enjoyed playing with Rebe so far. And there's a lot I can learn from her game defensively in particular.
I mean, what are those defensive meetings like these days? You have you, who's on the English national team, Rebecca, who's the captain of the Mexican national team, and now Tara has become a regular with the U.S. women's national team. So you're talking about world-class defenders across that back line. Not to mention, that's before we get to the outside backs and Gabby and Casey and McKenna's, you know, in the U.S. Side now on the U23 level. So, I mean, just studs back there. So what are those defensive meetings like and the conversations that you're able to have?
Yeah, we're very lucky to have so much talent across the back line. And I feel like we're all getting such a great understanding of each other's habits and how best we operate. But I think we're all just so open-minded and willing to learn. Whenever there's something we feel we can do better, we're very honest in communicating that and kind of working together to get on the same page and try and pull in the same direction to make sure we can improve and always be a more cohesive unit. So I feel like there's so much we can all learn from each other because we each have different super strengths, that it's just a constant cycle of development, of observing one another, talking about things and just trying to take the things that others do better than us into our game. And I feel like I've learned a lot from playing with T last year into this year and from Rebe coming into the side too. And as you say, our fullbacks are just incredible as well, 1v1 defending and going forward. So I've got a lot of learning that I've already done from my teammates and plenty more to do. And I feel that we all share that same mindset, which is really positive.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch the fluidity of the formations and the tactics and how Rebecca is able to come in and out of that back line and all the different things that, that Jonas had y'all do this year. Now, unfortunately, Esme, last time out, not everyone's favorite day at Audi Field, but I know that the team's been back hard at work this week trying to fix that. What has this week of training been like to bounce back? I mean, you guys have been playing so, so well. And all of a sudden you have a performance, lose 3-0 to Gotham. So how have you guys been talking about that, processing that, and making sure that you got everything straightened out for Friday night against Angel City?
Yeah, we were all so frustrated with our first half performance. It was really poor. I was really frustrated on a personal level. And I feel like as a team, we are very self-critical and we're very open and acknowledge when there's things that could be done better. And weren't good enough. And it's just been a case of trying to take the learnings that we can from last week, knowing that that was just not us at all. And then just try and feed on positive energy, creating enthusiasm and passion and motivation within the group to right the wrongs of last week, this weekend. Obviously, Angel City have been playing really, really well this season. So we know it's a tough opponent. And that's a really, really good thing for us because it's really helped to focus everyone, kind of putting last weekend behind us and then preparing for the challenge that's to come this week. As I say, with loads of positive energy, the training intensity this week's been really high and a really good level as well. We've been challenging each other and having loads of battles all the way over the pitch, which has been a lot of fun, very, very competitive. And I feel like we're in a good spot to, as I say, right the wrongs of last week.
Last question for Esme Morgan here on the Hoffman Show. Spirit host Angel City Friday night. And with that night game under the lights, Audi's been rowdy this year. It's been a lot of fun to be there as a fan. But what's different about playing those night games under the lights? Does it feel different? Is the energy a little bit different when you kind of feel like it's under that kind of spotlight?
Yeah, it's very atmospheric and it feels like showtime almost when the floodlights are on and you're walking out and there's fireworks, although I don't think there's going to be fireworks this week because we've got all the puppies and everything. But usually it feels very atmospheric and moody and the rowdy Audi crowd is just incredible. Even last week when we were playing poorly and behind 3-0, they were still so vocal and just trying to lift us to the comeback, which we tried our best and we played a lot better second half, feeding off that energy, but just wasn't enough. It just felt like we couldn't get the ball in the back of the net all day. But hopefully that'll change this weekend and we've got that out of our system, ready to score loads of goals on Friday and, as you say, have a little show under the lights.
It'll be a lot of fun. Esme Morgan with us, as always, great to chat. Thanks so much and best of luck this weekend.
Thank you very much.
All right. So the funny thing is, we taped that yesterday, and then I said, hey, I should have asked you about the pets this week because they had like dogs and cats from the Humane Society that visited Anthony. And she goes, yeah, you should have. You'll hear why next in Real Things Real People Said to Real Microphones.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the team at 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too, at the Team 980. We have a ton to get to on the Real Things front. So, Anthony, any housekeeping that we have for tomorrow that we want to let folks know about, or are we just going to get right to it?
We're on till 7 tomorrow.
We are, because the Capitals won, which means the Nationals are not on our station, which means we will proudly do our show till 7 o'clock on a Friday. Honestly, like, yes, being off at 5:30 on a Friday, who doesn't want to be off an hour and a half early on a Friday? But I'll be just going to the Audi Field afterwards, so I was going to have to be down here. I'm not even working from home tomorrow.
Anthony, oh, yeah, you are in with me.
I'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Are you excited about that?
Yeah.
Are you
lonely? It gets lonely sometimes in here on Friday.
You just get lonely on Fridays?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure like the whole building is empty.
Everybody's gone, dude. Well,
tomorrow we'll be in it together. Eventually, wifey will be here too because, I mean, she might meet me dead after the show, but who knows? Maybe she'll come in early and play some silly game with us or something.
Oh, yeah. A nice little bit.
Yeah, she'll make us look dumb with corporate lingo or something.
Oh, man. I'm not ready for that. I need to brush off my...
Shouldn't tempt her with a good time. all right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is time for Real Things Real People Said in Real Microphones.
Real things.
We're not going to be sucked this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All right, so I promised you that the Esme Morgan interview had a part two, if you will, that was real things adjacent. And so she mentioned we'll have the puppies at the pitch on Friday because they're trying to get some doggos adopted. And they had some pups and kittens come into their practice earlier in the week. And she goes, no, you really should have asked me about that. And so I said, well, fine. I guess I'll just hit record again. And Anthony, this is why. Bonus question, Esme. Tell us what happened earlier this week when all the pets came to visit. What happened?
So we had three puppies and a little kitten come in to visit, and I absolutely fell in love with the kitten. She's called Biscuit. So the following day, I took my boyfriend to the shelter to meet her so I could get his full approval. And yet we've registered to adopt Biscuit. So little Biscuit's going to be at the game, I believe, on Friday. So I'll get to see her then. And then once she's had all her vet checkups, I'll be able to bring her into my home. So I'm so excited.
Is that your first pet? Or is this, give us a little bit more background here. Like, what are we getting ourselves into?
It's my first pet as like a grown adult. I had a cat growing up with my family. But yeah, my first pet that I'm responsible for. So it is a lot, but I've been doing lots of Googling and research and looking for cat trees and everything. It's very exciting. And I'm going to make sure Biscuit has a very happy and loving life.
I love it so much. Biscuit, welcome home. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that's how Biscuit, as we got Biscuit.
Biscuit is a nice name.
It's a great name for a cat. Just imagine though, the wolf trap animal shelter, I believe is the one that they were working with. And they're like, hey, we're going to bring some pets to practice and you're going to help get them adopted. And Esme's like, I'll take one. And like, no, we said we're going to help get them adopted. She's like, I know, I'm going to adopt one.
Nah, that's mad dope, man. I want an animal now too.
Anthony, there's also a version that we put on my Instagram page at hoffman.sports where there's some video and pictures of Biscuit.
Oh, wow.
Very cute.
I need to check it out.
Very cute cat. Also, there's pictures of the puppies. And if you want to adopt a dog or a cat, there'll be some at Audi Field tomorrow night.
Have you and Rachel thought about adopting one?
Yes. There's a reason we haven't. Okay. They're expensive and they limit your freedom.
They do.
And we have decided that we are hoping eventually to have a two-legged child. And at that point, we will have no freedom. And at that point, we will consider getting a four-legged child as well.
That's smart.
Because we like being able to just say, we can leave our house and stay out as long as we want.
Yeah.
And not clean up any malfeasance.
Yeah. So, nicely put.
Yeah. So that's where we're at right now. Yep. Have you thought about getting a pet?
I have, but I need to move out of where I live now.
Yeah.
Because I'm gone too often.
Yeah. All right. Other real things real people said in real microphones, courtesy of the New Heights podcast, Jason and Travis Kelce's pod. They had Ben Affleck on, and he had a story about playing catch with Tom Brady. And boy, was it a story.
We heard that you once got to run routes with Tom Brady.
What was that like?
How many completions did we give? What kind of routes were you running?
I don't know if they have a name, but like, I'm sure I disgraced every receiver that's ever run a route. But to this day, aside from the birth of my children, that was the greatest thing. He's like, I need someone to play catch with. Happened to be on vacation at the same place with him.
This was as legit as it gets. You were helping Tom get ready for the season.
I don't know how much I was helping him. I think he was like, I'm going to blow this dude's mama, call him up. But the greatest moment of that experience was he was like, okay, come here. And I get to him and he's like, historic Super Bowl, fourth quarter. We got 23 seconds. It's fourth and 18. I was like,
this is why he's the best.
It was amazing. He goes, and just run straight. Don't turn around. I'm going to get you the ball in the end zone. I was like, don't turn around. He was like, don't look back. I was like, I'm in the Super Bowl now. So he's like, look, look, calls it out. And I start running. I don't look back. I'm sure to him it seemed like this. He's like, I've never seen somebody run in slow motion before. You know, but like to me, I was going as fast as you can go. But I'm like wondering, when's this ball going to show up? And I look, I just feel it like right out in front of me. And it was a little far for me. I think he was like, he probably adjusted back and it's still not backing up. You know what I mean? I reach out and I have to go all the extent. I f-ing catch the ball. It was incredible. I called everybody I knew, but it was like the nicest thing anyone's ever done for me. And I lived a full life of dreams, right? In that, whatever it was, hour of playing catch.
You had a real life Sandlot moment. You were small. Ready to tell it. Just put that glove up there, boy.
Hey, and that's the story of Ben Affleck playing catch with Tom Brady.
Hey, so people really, like, I think storytelling is such a great art, and it's something I sort of kind of lack, but when I hear other people tell stories very good, I was just like, dang, man, I wish I could do that.
I think taking out some of the sort of kindas would probably help.
Well, that too.
Because then you get to be more direct.
Yeah.
Because you've had, you know, even Brady setting the stage for them. Boy, we're in the Super Bowl. Could you imagine he comes in the huddle? Their huddle? He's like, all right, Ben, we're kind of sort of in the Super Bowl. Maybe on the 23 seconds left, I want you to run straight and try not to look back. Sort of, kind. This is my advice to you, Anthony. If you want to become a better storyteller, be more direct.
It's just so many thoughts going on in my head at all times.
You got to slow it down just a little bit. You got to slow it down so that you have just a little bit of time to make sure that the words come out
okay
in the proper succinctness. But they really hit with the effect that you want.
Got you.
That's our show. We'll see you tomorrow back here on the Team 980.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.